The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. No Scotty this week, as you guys know already. Carver High and Mafia here with you. 844-843-6879. We hit the midweek of Wednesday night here on Sports Grid Radio. Maf, listen, Maction night first. Max, we're going to do a lot of stuff tonight. We'll talk about Niners-Packers tomorrow, COVID situation with them. A lot of NBA to do. We've got some players who maybe want out of places they are. Daryl Morey making a ton of money. We'll even do some college football. Clemson's losing more guys. Baseball, Trevor Bauer declining the qualifying offer. So we got plenty to do, Moff. But Maction is here, baby. And I just have to, Moff, first update the Maction because Toledo up 21-0 on Bowling Green right now, heading into the second half, and they're laying a robust 23.5. Buffalo rolling now over Northern Illinois, 49-16. Good one between Central Michigan and Ohio, 30-27. We saw Kent State win. We saw Western Michigan win big. Maction is back, Moff. I know you're excited.
Yeah, I was watching a little bit of that Buffalo game before because, you know, I told you, no, I like Northern Iowa. I think Buffalo's going to cover the big spread. And I was looking good, feeling good. And then the quarterback tries to not throw the pass and instead fumbles the ball and they scoop and score. And then they get the ball back. And the running back decides to fumble it and pretty much throw it to Buffalo, and they scoop and score. And now that game is well out of hand, so I'm checked out.
Yeah, the Huskies of Northern Illinois played very well for a half against Buffalo, but the better team has taken over. A couple of scoop and scores. Buffalo running back having a big night, 49-16. They run away with it now. I am very interested and will be for the next hour or so in the second half of this Bowling Green Toledo contest, if you can catch my drift, Moff, that's for sure. So like I said, we've got plenty to do tonight. We'll look at some lines for the weekend. We'll do some NBA stuff, some college football stuff. When we come back, we'll start with the Niners and the Packers. And the question has to be, why are they playing this game tomorrow night? Carver High and Mafia, Farrell on the bench, in for Scotty, 844-843-6879. We get things going right after this.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia here with you on a Wednesday night. We've got Maction. We've got plenty of other things. I'm going to get into this Packer-Niner game tomorrow night, but I got to say, Mafia, after watching these teams here, first night, Mac, clearly Bowling Green stinks. They're really bad, and Toledo just had an opportunity to roll it up another touchdown on them, and they fumbled the football at about the 10. I could really use some Bowling Green points here. The teams that really stink, it seems like Akron and Bowling Green, Mafia, just from watching these MAC games tonight, those are going to be the teams that we're going to look to go against a lot as we start playing these games. Because this is going to be it on Tuesday. They're only playing on Tuesday and Wednesday nights. The MAC is not playing any weekend games. They are splitting all their games on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Smart move by them because they have people like me, Mafia, who are degenerates and they want to get involved in these MAC games on a weeknight. But these are the two teams, Bowling Green and Akron. They stink, Mafia. We're going to fade them for the next 6 weeks.
Well, you know, you can say that right now, but we don't know if that's going to stick for the rest of the season. I mean, we know that these teams, how many of them had bad prep or, you know, short off seasons, didn't have spring practice, all this other stuff. You know, we were talking about it last night, how many of them were replacing upperclassmen to key positions like quarterback and running back or, you know, defensive positions, you know, like signal callers on that side of the ball. So there's a lot of them that kind of are playing by the seat of their pants here in this games, and we'll see if they get better over the coming weeks, or if they end up like a lot of these other conferences, who the more they play, the more they get sick and donate, you know, have to cancel games and push games and things like that, which they really don't have any leeway for. So I'm not going to say just from one game, we're just going to say these teams are terrible, because we've also seen in the MAC some of these teams that start off like 0-6 and all of a sudden just start ripping off wins at the end of the season.
I'm confident about Bowling Green after one game. I'm pretty confident about them. You brought up a COVID thing.
Put the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on these MAC games here over the next hour, a bunch of them in the second half. The Toledo game started last, so that one will probably be the one that lingers around the longest. Packers 49ers tomorrow night, Mafia. Now, today, Kendrick Bourne gets put on the COVID list. He tests positive for COVID. So that means that all the close contacts of Kendrick Bourne on the 49ers, they all now, you know, they get down. They can't play tomorrow night, which is Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, Trent Williams, the offensive lineman. Like, and now, like, it's just a laundry list of guys on the 49ers who can't play. You already have the Green Bay situation where they basically have no running backs playing in the game because of the A.J. Dillon positive test. Now, about a month ago, you had the situation where they moved a bunch of games around. The Titans had their situation. The Patriots had their game with the Chiefs moved back a day, and then the schedule shifts around. Like, I get it. It's a Thursday night game. What happened, Mafia, to, like, all of the, you know, health is paramount. We care about the health and the safety of our players. This is such an easy solution. Why not just play this game on Sunday or Monday? Like, I don't understand what we're doing here. You got guys out of this game left and right, but we're going to press ahead because, you know, we need to get this Thursday night game on Fox tomorrow at 8:30 Eastern. Mafia, like, what? Am I missing something here? Is this just purely about money, as always, with the NFL? Why can't we wait a couple days and let all these guys play in the game when they come up negative with their tests, like Stafford's going to do?
Of course it's all about money. Are you serious? You're really asking that question, Mike? Come on. You're smart enough to know that. Oh, the same thing of we talked about last night with the Jets about how Gase is part of the solution. Is the same thing the NFL saying health is paramount about our players. No. Money rules the world. Money rules everything around me. Cream, baby. Wu-Tang Clan. That's how the NFL operates. And that's what they're doing here, because those other games, sure, they moved them, and then that was that they had to move them. And if they didn't move them, they were going to get canceled. Right now they're looking at this and saying, you know what? There's enough guys we can scrape together another terrible Thursday night game, you know, enough so that Fox can have a broadcast. So we're going to do it anyway. I mean, it's ridiculous, because we were talking last night about how Green Bay has all these things, obviously, with the injuries and then with the COVID. And we're saying, well, why aren't we moving it? They moved all these other games. And, you know, I saw in articles about how, well, when they moved those other games, the teams that had the COVID were the home teams. So when those teams were coming into their buildings, their facilities, they thought, you know what, they might be infected. Let's make sure they're clear before we bring someone other team in and ruin them for the next 2 weeks. This was a scenario where the Green Bay Packers were the ones who were sick, but San Francisco didn't have any problems. So why not play the game anyway? And then today, San Francisco tests positive, and they still say, well, we're going to go through with it anyway.
Like, it's such an easy fix. Like, it really is. It's an easy fix. Let's give it another couple days. And let's play the game on Sunday, or you've done it a bunch of times. Let's play the game on Monday before you play the hideous Jet Patriot game on Monday night. Like, there's so many ways to just make this safer, whether these guys can play or not. You know, and I think that it's possible that these close contact guys will most likely by Sunday, they would have been able to play. But why not? What happened to keeping everybody safe? The safest option right now would be to just hold off on this game a few days. But we press ahead. It seems like the NFL now. And here's another thing, Mafia, and this is starting to ramp up here. I mean, everybody told you in the spring there's going to be another second wave that's going to come in the fall. You're starting to see it, dude. Like, and we notice it just because we're talking about sports every day. So we notice the increase. Like, you're starting to see an uptick now. Like, we've got a bunch of NFL guys here and there, college football. You get another game whacked this weekend, Virginia and Louisville, I think it was, that they're now going to play next week. You've got I saw in the New York Post tonight that the entire Fox college football pregame crew is not doing it on Saturday because they're all being quarantined. Like, it just seems like, Mafia, in the sports world especially, things are ramping up a little bit more as we get more and more into the colder, colder days of November and December.
Oh, wait, so another decision that was made for not the safety of the players, but because of the almighty dollar, where they have the early game on Fox or the Pac-12 at 9 a.m. start.
How ridiculous is that?
Is now not even going to have to show that they were bringing there for that game because everyone's sick? Of course, what a surprise. Color me, you know, surprise here. I mean, we're living in the New York area, New York, New Jersey. Like, for me, I'm watching Jersey numbers every day because, you know, we've talked about before, my wedding's in a week and a half, and every time there's another 2,000 cases each day, I'm like, are they going to cancel me? Are they going to shut me down? Like, what's going to happen here? So, you know, I'm watching that. We're seeing sports. And again, it's not even just our area. You see all over the country, you know. You'd say Louisville game, we've seen it in Florida. We've seen it, you know, Wisconsin has their issues. It's all over the place, all over the country. It doesn't matter. Red, blue, you know, if you're black, white, it doesn't matter if you play the Big Ten, SEC. Like, there is, you know, it's coming back with fury no matter what's going on. And it's amazing how these programs and these leagues and these conferences and all these different, you know, governing bodies keep trying to make it sound like they care about the players, and then they still are all catching it, and, you know, they're still playing games.
But they are going to play the game. Now, last night it was 5.5. It has now gone up to -7 for the Packers as more and more guys just continue to fall out of this game. And I also noticed this tonight, Mafia. Last night we talked about the Dexter Williams anytime touchdown prop +380 on FanDuel. They've taken down the touchdown props probably because guys are dropping like flies out of this game. They have no idea who's going to play. So hopefully everybody went and grabbed Dexter Williams last night at +380, because it sounds like he'll play for the Packers. Is there a small chance they don't play this game tomorrow night, Mafia? It doesn't seem like it. It's all steam ahead. Green Bay is there now. They are out in the Bay Area. They're ready to go. So I guess it's just going to be, you know, if they get more tests in the morning, That's going to be the thing. Tomorrow morning, if it's all clear, that'll probably mean that they play the game, right? Because they got to do more testing today after Bourne got the positive today.
Yeah, if they come in there tomorrow and they got more guys testing positive, that's when you're going to see it shut down. Right now, given that they don't have those tests yet, they only have the one guy, they have the close contacts, they're going to try to do everything they can to get it going. And I'm surprised that, you know, with Green Bay having to travel today, that they didn't shut it down. But that's the NFL. You know, they want to make that money. They don't want to tick off the broadcast partners. We hear all about the deals and who's trying to finagle for what things so that they get what they want as far as these billion-dollar deals are concerned. And, you know, this is another case of it. It's not surprising.
Yeah, and this game's going to be tough. You know, they got no weapons now in wide receiver. They were already missing running backs. Nick Mullins is going to be playing quarterback. He's going to have basically Huey, Dewey, and Louie playing wide receiver for him. No Kittle, no nothing. I just don't know how the 49ers are scoring points tomorrow night against the Packers. This is Packers minus 7 and the under 48.5. That is like right there, Mav. That's, you want to do a little tease tomorrow night, the Packers in the under. I think that might be the way that we go. No question. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia, 844-843-6879. We've got a lot more to do. Pharrell on the bench rolls on right after this.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
And we're back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia here for Scotty. He's on vacation all week. We have made it to Wednesday. A couple more days to go here for the two of us. 844-843-6879. Little update on the Maction, Mafia. Once again, like, there just has not been points since the first quarter of this Toledo Bowling Green game. Toledo moving the ball again now. Into Bowling Green territory. This is going to end probably poorly for me in the sense that they probably won't cover the 23.5 and it won't go over the total. So that's going to be tough. Central Michigan up 30-27 on Ohio right now. Buffalo 49-22 over Northern Illinois. So we keep an eye on the Maction and maybe we can get an explosion of points here in the fourth quarter between Bowling Green and Toledo. A couple other things from the NFL, Moff. Did you see, this has gotten bizarre, this Golden Tate thing with the Giants. Did you see that tonight now? Now, let me set this up from earlier in the week. So during the Buck game on Monday night, he was kind of caught on camera after he scored the touchdown, I believe, like screaming like at his own sideline, like, "See, just throw me the ball, you know," or something like that. Like, the guy wants to rock. And as I say that, Toledo goes in for a touchdown with about 5 minutes left in the third. So 27-0 now there. They'll be waiting on the extra point. So Mafia yells at the sideline, you know, "Give me the ball. I want the ball." Then the wife or the girlfriend or whoever goes on social media after the game saying that he doesn't get the ball enough. Then Judge has to address it today, and he wasn't at practice today, and basically said, "I talked to Golden Tate. You know, he's, you know, we're taking care of it internally, blah, 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 blah." So tonight, somebody put up like an Instagram post saying that, you know, the Giants should release Golden Tate, and he likes the post. So Golden Tate likes it. So I guess Golden Tate wants out of the Giants, not getting the rock enough, trade deadlines passed. Probably not healthy for a young quarterback who already makes, you know, it's tough on Daniel Jones. We went through this a lot on Monday night. We know the deal with him. He makes some great throws. He makes some awful decisions. And now he's got this Golden Tate situation. Sometimes, Mafia, it is just best to just cut bait with these guys. It really is.
Yeah, especially given what's going on and the, you know, for the team in the season. It's not like a situation where, you know, it's not like Hollywood Brown earlier this week, you know, with his little comments on social media about not getting the ball, where, you know, you had Lamar come out today and said, yeah, it's my fault. I got to get the ball. He's one of our best players. You know, where they're a playoff team, they're a good team. You need him. You know, you're going to try to settle things down. Or, you know, even Antonio Brown, you know, who obviously is back in football today, you know, years ago with the Steelers, how many times they'd smooth things over and be like, yeah, yeah, he did something stupid. We're going to handle it. Like, we'll get past this. Because you need him. You want him. You're a good team. You need that talent. The Giants are going nowhere. If anything, it serves them more purpose to lose games. You know, they keep losing games. Not that they haven't lost before, but to keep doing what they're doing and fail and fall on their face. You know, have some good growing pains and, you know, getting your steps in the right direction, but still not win the game so you get a better pick, because you're obviously not going to the playoffs or, you know, doing any – well, obviously in that division, I can't really say no one's going – there is any team that's not going to the playoffs at this point, but still probably not going to the playoffs. It's not, you know, worth it to keep playing and playing hard and trying to, you know, pay this guy. So why not get rid of him? You know, get the cancer off the team. Let Judge try to work with the rest of them and see what they can do. They have Sterling Shepard. They have Ingram. They have these other guys who can catch the ball. So see what you got with the rest of them. You know, you're probably not going to keep him around much longer anyway. Just release him and get rid of him.
Yeah, that's pretty much all that you could do at this point. There's no point hanging on. You just, and it's always the wide receivers, Mafia. It's always the wide receivers. With this stuff happens that they're always get put in the diva category. And I'm sure that Joe Judge probably doesn't want to deal with this nonsense either. So we'll see how long Golden Tate hangs on with the New York Giants. Did you get to see any of Antonio Brown today? His first media session with the Bucks. Tom is my boy. I've learned a lot from him. He's been a great guy in my corner. I'm so happy to be here. I'm living at the mansion with Tom. I've still been waiting, Mafia, for FanDuel to put up the anytime touchdown prop for Brown on Sunday against the Saints in the Sunday Nighter. It seems like, and, you know, hey, I just remember last year, even when he went to the Patriots for that 1 week, you know, he was very, you know, all over the place and things were very wild in his life. And it actually did seem like today, Mafia, and he could have been putting on an act for all we know, much more level-headed, focused maybe Antonio Brown as he gets ready to get going with the Bucks here on Sunday night and Tommy Brady.
Oh, he could have been putting on an act? No, he is putting on an act. Same thing he did when he went to Oakland. After he was all ticked off at Pittsburgh, they trade him, and he's so happy to be with Gruden. Can't wait to work with Derek Carr. This offense is going to be incredible. And then started having his troubles with the helmet and fight with the NFL and, you know, other stuff coming out and freaking out about them and doing social media posts like all these receivers that we talk about, you know, wanting to get cut and released. And if you're going to find me, forget it, you know, get rid of me. Then same kind of act with the Patriots when he first got there about, you know, hey, this is a great organization. I'm here to win. Like, you know, they know what they're doing. Put on the act again. And then what happens? I'll give him credit there. He didn't do anything, you know, to get released. It was just the past accusations coming back around on him. Well, actually, no, I take that back again. I'm going to contradict myself a second time, because then after those things came out, didn't he go on social media attacking the chick? And we heard accusations about him sending people after her. So everywhere he goes, it's the same thing. Everywhere all these guys go that get in trouble, you know, they come out apologetic. They do what their PR or agent person tells them to do, say what they want them to say, and, you know, say how amazing it is to get this chance again, and then they blow it. So I forget the anytime touchdown prop. I want anytime accusation / arrest prop on him.
I'm playing. He's scoring a touchdown on Sunday night. He definitely is. He's wearing the TB12 hat today at the Zoom meeting. I mean, he is just, he's living in the, I was saying to Keith, there is on coast to coast today. He's got the
Tom basically, ice cream? I don't.
Tom basically has an entire zip code that he bought down there in Tampa. So he has the big mansion. I'm sure he's got room in the house, the guest house across the street, for Antonio Brown to stay in. And Mav, in the last hour, I saw that line actually go. It was -5.5 for Tampa. It's now down to 4.5. So something to keep an eye on over the next couple of days. Where are you leaning right now at this game? You know, I'm kind of, you know, after the watching Tampa on Monday night, I'm a little down on them because it was the Giants, and we all know the Giants stink. But they're at home. They've already lost a game to New Orleans this year. So this is a crucial game that Tampa's going to need to get in order for them to win the NFC South. I am still leaning Tampa right now, Mafia, even my laying the 4.5 as we get closer to Sunday.
Oh, I'm not leading Tampa. I'm fully falling over on Tampa. I don't care that they played bad against the Giants. This team in the Saints is one that's been one of the most disappointing teams in the league this year. They were supposed to win the NFC. It's supposed to be the, you know, the last hurrah for Breeze. They're going to go on a great run. They're going to win it finally. Win one for the Gipper. Send him out on top. And they've been absolutely awful. And so is he. The receiving core has been so banged up, whether it be injuries or COVID. They've had issues with Thomas, not even just with injuries, just on, you know, him getting into fights and things like that. Had to discipline him. The only one that's performed on that team is Kamara. And right now you're coming into it against a great defense who can shut people down. Obviously, they didn't do that against Judge and, you know, Jacobs and Jones and the Giants, but, you know, I think they took that game too lightly. I think they were kind of coming in there thinking it was going to be a pushover. They're not going to do that against the Saints. It's a division game. It's an important game. And when you look at the injury report today and you have Breeze and Kamara both on it, and of course Breeze tries to downplay it, act like it's nothing. Dude, you're a quarterback. There is no such thing as not a big deal when it comes to shoulder injury, especially when you already have a noodle arm this year and people are saying your shoulder might be shot. So now that you're showing up on the injury report with that, I'm not taking that lightly. I'm not, you know, thinking that's not a big deal, and I'm riding the Bucks hard.
Yeah, I'm still in the lean part. You know, the Saints sometimes, you know, they show up in these spots. I know it's not the same this year. They've been questionable in a few of these games, but interesting to see if they get Thomas back. That could be a little bit of a difference for them. But I'm leaning and look at a big run for Bowling Green here, Mafia. Let's go down 28-0. The big Maction game going on. Now, can they actually score? That's the question. They have been in the same part of the field, Bowling Green, all night long. They are down to the Toledo 30. I don't think they've crossed it all night. Can they finally, actually the 45, geez, they didn't even get to the 30 yet. They have had problems finishing these drives. Quarterback was running for his life. And a little trickery here, the triple reverse, Moff, and the long pass. And it's down to the one. How does he not score there? Mafia, the triple reverse. Do you have the Toledo game on? Please tell me that you saw that.
I do have the game on, but I think you're ahead of me again because I have not seen the triple reverse as of yet. Either that or
ahead of Mafia, or you missed it already. Oh, what is this? Roughing the passer. That's not going to matter much because they're on the 1 yard line anyway. They did a.
Okay, you're not ahead of me. Then. I saw the roughing the passer call, so I missed the play while I was talking to you.
Those tricky Falcons of Bowling Green. The triple reverse, the quarterback to the wide receiver, back to the running back, back to the quarterback, throws it deep downfield. I don't know how the kid didn't score. Got to finish the play, my man. So now they're inside the five. A lot riding on this here. Bowling Green getting 23.5. And on the first play, they're pushing the pile, does not get in. Just an awful effort here. By these guys, Mafia. Just an awful effort. 4:50 now to go. And still a lot of time, actually, for the over. Still a lot of time.
Oh, man, it gets worse.
Oh, what now? What now? Don't tell me they fumble the football, Mafia. Don't tell me that. You're ahead of me. Don't tell me they fumble the football.
They do fumble. I'm just not sure. I don't think they're signaling it for Toledo. Toledo obviously had the ball afterwards, but I think they're going to say he was down.
He was down. I just saw the play. Me and you are pretty close for once. Pretty close. He was down. They got to keep that football. Give it to the Falcons of Bowling Green here. All right. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty all week. 844-843-6879. A little bit more NFL when we come back. Sure didn't sound like J.J. Watt was too thrilled that he's still a Houston Texan. We'll talk about that and more. Carver High, Mafia, Pharrell on the bench. We roll on right after this. And we're back. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia here with you in for Scotty all week, who is on vacation. 844-843-6879. For some reason, Mafia down 28-0. Bowling Green decided that I guess they wanted to get the zero off the board. Down 28 zip. They decided to kick a field goal. So now it's 28-3. Does not help you. If you have Bowling Green getting 23.5, you are still not covering the game. So you need a little bit more action from the Falcons here, Mafia. Very curious. The kid couldn't score. The problem was the kid didn't score on the triple reverse flea flicker deal that they had. That was what killed everything for us in this Maction game, Mafia.
Yeah, that was a big play. I mean, then they had the first and goal, and then they, the plays that they ran, they lost it the one time. They almost fumbled it away. There's been a bunch of, you know, situations where they should have scored that. You know, it wasn't just that one play. They had three chances, and it just got worse and worse as the downs got, you know, later and later. And then it was weird. They kind of transitioned to the field goal unit as they're lined up on the ball. I don't think I've ever seen a team do that. I thought you kind of had to know what you're doing beforehand, before the huddle, and not come out, have guys on the ball, and now like half the team leaves like a hockey change and the kicker comes in.
Yeah. Right now on the live line, Bowling Green at FanDuel getting 31.5. So pretty sizable. They're you know, we'll see. I wouldn't jump on that right now. Let's just put it that way. You're in enough trouble if you got him pregame at 23.5. A couple more NFL here for you, Moff. The J.J. Watt, we talked about, you know, could they trade him? You know, there's a problem with everybody doesn't want to take on money. You don't know what's going to happen with the salary cap. Man, Moff, he sure sounded like he wanted to be traded. That's for sure. Said today, not looking to rebuild. You know, it's obviously they're 1-6 this year. They fired their coach. They're going to obviously have Watson for a while. They're going to give him some kind of a contract. But J.J. Watt didn't seem too happy today. That's for sure.
He definitely didn't, and he shouldn't be. I mean, it's a terrible team. It's a situation. This team was, you know, projected to maybe win that division. They've just been awful. Obviously, they hurt themselves with the Hopkins deal. I mean, they shouldn't have let O'Brien stay around this extra year. He should have been let go in the offseason. They should have tried to rebuild from there. And, you know, I don't blame J.J. Watt for not wanting to stick around for a loser. You know, he doesn't have that much time left. Like you said, he's got maybe a couple good years. And I don't even know if that tournament is that. The guy's been banged up so much the last couple of years. You know, while it's not fun for him to stick around on a losing team, then again, who is going to trade, you know, major draft stock for him? Because you can't be sure he's going to stay on the field. He might get you a couple good games, but are you going to trade, you know, a number two or a number three or whatever they're going to ask for that, you know, to get him on there for 4 to 6 games before he's out with a back injury or, you know, torn bicep or whatever else he does? I mean, the guy just has been really banged up the last couple of years. But again, the problem, you know, in Texas and Houston specifically, as we've heard, you know, from Adam Kaplan and other people, is when you get rid of a guy that has dual power there, you know, you want to bring a new GM in and you don't want to trade the guys who actually have value before he gets there. It would have made more sense for them to trade, you know, Fuller and Cooks and these guys that are, you know, don't have anything left past this year, and get something for him before you just lose him for nothing. A guy like J.J. Watt, maybe you get something in the offseason, you know, cut a couple pieces, maybe get a couple draft picks. So you're going to wait for your new GM to do that and get the best deal he can instead of letting the interim do it and, you know, handcuff the guy. But you need to get rid of him because, or some of these other guys as well, you got no draft picks. You got nothing to rebuild with. So unless you went to Sean Watson, just waste his career with you after they signed that 4-year deal, you got to get him something. So J.J. Watt, you know, he might not want to be there now. That's fine. He probably won't be here next year.
Yeah, that's something that they might have to look to do in the offseason when there's a little bit more clarity about the salary cap, maybe around March when the offseason starts, get closer to the draft, etc. They're not exactly playing in one of the marquee games of the weekend, Mafia. Let's put it that way. Texans coming off the bye. Toledo with a deep shot here. What is that kid doing? He stops running. Number 14 on Toledo. They should cut him. Not get him, let him go on the bus back to the dorm after the game here. Awful job by 14. Keep running.
Hard to catch the ball with your hands by your sides, too.
I mean, honestly, what is he doing? That, you know, cut him. Get him off the team immediately. Anyway, not a marquee matchup for the Texans this week. They go to Jacksonville off the bye. 7-point favorites on the road, Mafia. A 1-6 Texan team, a 1-6 Jaguar team. Definitely not the game that will be on the main TV, but I think there's an opportunity here with the -7 for them. No Minshew either. They're going to be playing the kid from Oregon State at quarterback, the Jags. Could be a good opportunity to make a couple bucks with the Texans this Sunday.
It could be. I don't love the 7. I think that's, you know, when it sits at right at a touchdown, it kind of makes me worry about what they're seeing that I'm not, because that feels like a trap, like that's going to end up there. You know, I felt the same way last week when the Titans, I think, were laying 7, but obviously that turned out to be completely wrong in that Titans-Bengals game because Cincinnati just blew them out, so it didn't matter the spread. But I don't like the full-on touchdown spreads. You know, I want to hook either way to kind of figure out which way I'm going to lean. Houston should beat them. They should beat them handily without Minshew. obviously we don't know what this kid's going to be. He could be, you know, the game of his life, or he could be another DiNucci. Who knows? But it should be a situation where even though Houston is a bad team and Jacksonville is a bad team, it still should not be a good game because Houston still has a lot of the guys they came into the season with. They just changed their coach because they weren't winning. Jacksonville doesn't have their quarterback. They've had guys sit out. They've traded guys. It's just a bad situation all around for them. They started off hot. People got excited. Now they've fallen right back down to where they should be.
And that is the only win that the Texans have this year, is against Jacksonville. That was at home back in early October, a 30-14 win. But these two teams have played some very loopy games in the past. When Jacksonville's been bad, it seems like usually once a year they somehow end up beating the Texans. So I think that there's a good chance, especially with the kid playing quarterback for Jacksonville, to get involved there and maybe make a couple of bucks. A few other games. You know, this line's moved a little bit too, Mav. I'm interested in this Dolphin-Cardinal game. The Fish go out to Glendale to take on Arizona. You're going to have Tua against Kyler Murray. This is actually, Mafia, the game at 4:25 Eastern on Sunday. I know that most of the country is going to get that Pittsburgh Cowboy game because of the nostalgia and all the Pittsburgh and Cowboy fans all over the country, the great rivalry of the 70s. But really, the game at 4:25 are these two young quarterbacks, and Tua and Kyler Murray, -3.5 right now for the Cardinals at home, total of 48.5. Arizona coming off the bye. Miami, you had beating L.A., the Rams at home last week in a game where they got all sorts of crazy touchdowns. They got outgained by about 350 yards. Now they go out to Arizona. I don't like Miami to keep this going here this week, Mafia. I think that Arizona, Kyler Murray, et cetera, at home will take care of business against Miami.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that I'm going with Arizona. I think I might even lean in under in that game, too, because after what we saw from Miami's defense last week, I mean, that's why they won the game. Let's be honest. Everyone's excited. Tua gets his first win. Tua didn't do a damn thing. Tua rode the defense and the special teams to win that game. He had a nice touchdown pass, but other than that, he didn't even throw for 100 yards. That defense just tore Jared Goff a new one. They owned him. And, you know, with the strip sacks and the interceptions, that's the reason they won that game, because otherwise L.A. was kicking their butt and outrunning them, out getting the yardage on them. They just couldn't put it in the end zone because every time they got close, Goff turned the ball over. You're not going to have that with Murray. He's, you'll have a turnover or two, at worst. But I think he's a better, ball control guy than Goff was last week. I think their defense for Arizona is better than LA showed last week, even though they stopped Tua. So I can't even say, well, I take that back, because the defense was fine. It was just the offense that held them back in the special team. So I think it's going to be more of a defensive struggle, I think, than we're expecting. I think a lot of people can look at this and say Tua and Kyler Murray and be like, oh, yeah, definitely over. They're going to light it up. They're going to be throwing all over the field, man. It's going to be a great game. And I think Arizona's going to roll them.
You've got a quasi-elimination game, I guess you could say, in the NFC East between the Giants and the Washington football team. Look, Eagles only have 3 wins. Washington's got 2. I mean, these two teams, if the Giants won, they would technically still be in the mix. I think that if they lost, they would probably be done. But the Giants did beat Washington a couple of weeks ago at MetLife. That was the game where Washington gets the late touchdown. Riverboat Ron goes for the deuce. Does not get it. Giants end up getting their only win of the year. Heard Rivera yesterday, press conference, talking about how the NFC East is still alive. We've got an opportunity to get this thing. The Washington football team, Mafia, -3 at home, and these 41.5 totals. I tried it on Sunday when I saw the Saint and Bear total get to that low. It actually got to 40.5. I said, I'm doing it. I don't know if I could do it with these two teams. Very tough. Washington's defense is pretty good. The Giants is too. Probably a sloppy slugfest type of game like they played at MetLife a few weeks ago between these two teams on Sunday.
Yeah, that's tough. Such a low total. I mean, I'd love to play the under that. The first time they played was 2019. Giants were lucky to get that win, but I don't know if you could do that again. I think it might be a situation where if you're going to play the total, you might have to tease it up and then play the under, or tease it down and play the over. But I don't know if where it's sitting is comfortable either way for me. I like Washington's game. I took Washington to cover against the Giants the first time they played. I think it was 3 or 3.5. It might have been 3.5. So I, rode the hook there, and they just barely lost the game because Riverboat Ron decided to go for 2 instead of tying the game and going to overtime. I thought they looked good. Defense shut down the Giants pretty much. The touchdown that put them over the top was a strip sack touchdown, scoop and score. So even then, Washington came back after that. It was still like less than 5 minutes left. They came back and scored and had a chance to tie still. So I like Washington to win this game. I don't think they're a good team, but I think their defense is a little stronger. The Giants' defense is playing well. We saw that on Monday Night Football. But, you know, their offense is putting up points, but they're not great on either side of the ball. I think Washington's defense has a little bit more of an edge, and Kyle Allen is not a good quarterback, or he's a decent quarterback, not a great one, not a really good one. I think he's a better ball control quarterback than Daniel Jones, and that's going to be the issue. We saw Jones throw the big interception in the end zone the first time they played, where he should have just thrown it away completely, and he throws it, you know, just enough in the reach of the defensive back, and he scoops it out and gets the interception. They go the other way. I think the dumb mistakes are going to cost them this time, and they're not going to squeak by Washington. I think this time Washington wins at home.
I could see the Giants winning this game in Washington on Sunday. You know, the way they played on Monday night, they came up short. Can they get any of that? It is a short week for them. Can they get any of that to carry over on Sunday? Because as bad as Daniel Jones is at times, and he makes horrible decisions, I think he's better than Kyle Allen. And usually in a game like this, a 3-point spread, you like to lean towards who has the better quarterback, although they ain't saying much. I still don't get Washington. If they were healthy enough, if Alex Smith was healthy enough to play in the second half against Baltimore a month ago, then he's healthy enough to play all the time. That's the way I look at it. And he would give the Washington a better chance to win week in, week out than Kyle Allen would. So
right, yeah, especially if you sat Haskins, because you were still in the mix and you want to play a guy who's going to win. Then go with the guy who has won, who's gotten the playoffs and who went to a Super Bowl, not the guy who was, you know, the backup to Cam and, you know, got torn apart by week six of playing on the, you know, the field for him.
Yeah, we've said this forever, me, you, Scotty, all of us, you know, just him getting back on the field, I thought it was a scary situation, like something that, you know, please, you know, hopefully nothing goes bad. But he got out there, he played. So if he's healthy enough to get out there and play, I don't know why they don't play him at quarterback. You're playing Kyle Allen. I don't know how much longer you could go with that. So the Giants and the Washington football team, you always got to watch.
Can we make this a loser leaves town game? Whoever loses, you know, getting like a
That's exactly what this is.
They're going to some new league we're creating.
And a couple moves from two games that we talked about last night. Ravens now down to -1.5 at Indy against the Colts. That was 2.5 last night when we talked. And the Bears and the Titans, Bears now +6.5 in Tennessee. We saw that last night at 5.5. So +6.5 for the Bears in Nashville. Nashville coming off, the Titans, I should say, coming off a couple of
Both
tough losses. Yeah. Yeah. So at 46.5, too. 844-843-6879. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty all week. We've got a lot more to do. We'll wrap up hour number one. Pharrell on the Bench rolls on right after this. And we're back. Pharrell on the Bench, Carver High, and Mafia in for Scotty all week. 844-843-6879. The opening night of Maction. The Mac is back, baby. The midweek college football that you crave. And we're looking for a Maction moment here in the fourth quarter of this Toledo Bowling Green game. I am one leg away, Mafia, from a 5-team teaser hitting the boards. The first four have already come in. We have four winners. We needed the over 56 in this Toledo Bowling Green game. Here's the problem. There's 13.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and we need 26 points, and Toledo is just running the football and running the clock. So we need chaos. That, as always, with these things, you got these crazy 4-5 team teasers or parlays. Sometimes that last leg comes up a little short for you, and I think that that's what's going to happen here. Maybe, but you know what, Mafia? I'll hang my hat on this. It is the Mac. It is Maction. It's Mac after dark right now. Maybe anything can happen here in these last 13 minutes. Do I have a shot?
Well, anything that starts past 4:30 is Mac after dark at this point, and then this part of the season, in the season, and you know, this country. But yeah, I mean, no, you know, sorry.
No shot. They did score 21.
I can't figure it out.
Everybody's been trying to find a path to victory for a lot of things over the last 24 hours. But Toledo did score 21 points in the first quarter. I would need Bowling Green to contribute in some way, and they just have not shown me offensively that they're going to be able to do it. So I think that we could be in trouble with this Maction tease. Second hour, we're going to be coming up. We're going to talk some NBA. We're going to talk more college football. We have Mountain West games tomorrow night, Mafia. Tonight, Maction. Tomorrow night, Mountain West. So we're going to do that. 844-843-6879. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. Pharrell on the bench. Hour number two. We get going right after this.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.